Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show.
We start with some good news for Cub fans, players, coaches, and the media. There's no rain in the forecast tonight. After a washout in Washington, Joe Maddon's guys return home. John Lester takes the mound at Wrigley Field against the Brew Crew, now just two games back in the NL Central. Glenn and JD have the call on Authentic Fan Night at 7 p.m. Meanwhile, the Matt Nagy era was off to a fantastic start, at least in the first half, and then a hobbling Aaron Rodgers. Well, he ended all that with a miraculous second-half comeback, bringing the Packers back from 20 points down. So now the question is, what's ahead for the Bears? We'll break it all down on Sports Talk Live on location at Gallagher Way. We're outside Wrigley Field where it's Cubs Authentic Fan Night. Make sure to share your Cubs fandom using the hashtag AuthenticFan, and your photos might be shown during the game broadcast. We get the festivities started right now on NBC Sports Chicago. Welcome into Sports Talk Live from Gallagher Way outside of Wrigley Field. I'm Mark Schanowski, filling in for the Catman tonight. I'm joined by our panel of baseball experts, NBC Sports Chicago Cubs analyst David DeJesus, Jesse Rogers from ESPN Radio, ESPN.com, and Tom Verducci from MLB.com. You hear him call games throughout the season. Tom, let's start with you. Obviously, this race got very tight all of a sudden after the Cubs salvaged the series finale in Milwaukee. We thought they got a four-game lead. Things are looking pretty good, but all of a sudden it's very tight.
Yeah, I love it. Cubs fans probably don't.
Right.
It causes the agita, but I love tight races. You know, to me, the Brewers have found a second win with their bullpen. When they were scuffling about 2-3 weeks ago, the bullpen to me looked a little bit gassed, but now lately they have found their second win, and they're in this thing to the end. No, don't get me wrong. They're a legit contender.
Yeah. Well, Jesse, you lived through that four-game quagmire in Washington, which turned out to be three games. Yeah. Now they have to go back to D.C. Was it handled the right way? I know Joe Maddon likes to put a positive spin on anything, but you could tell even Joe was a little frustrated by the end.
Yeah, I mean, you're asking a guy that was there
you
as well.
There. So
I don't think it was handled the right way. I mean, we could talk about Friday and Saturday. They were going to be there Friday and Saturday no matter what. But when you came to Sunday and it looked really bad, yeah, they could have sent the Cubs home early yesterday and really given them almost a near 24 hours off. I mean, I think everybody here that's been around baseball knows if you go to the ballpark, that is not a day off, let alone staring at four walls, as Joe said pregame today, for four walls for 4 hours. That's certainly not a day off. And I give Craig Counsell credit. He had a chance to say, yeah, we'll take advantage of that. He said, no, fans have to understand, anytime you go to the ballpark, that is not a day off. If you have to be somewhere, that's not a day off. I think we can all relate. So I'm not sure if it was handled correctly, but it is what it is. I think if the Nats were in the race, they probably would have, everybody would have paid a little bit more attention to both teams, right? But only the Cub fans cared about the Cubs and everything. So they've got to rise above it. Maybe it's a good thing they're playing Milwaukee right away here, because you know adrenaline's going to be pumping.
And, David, from a player's perspective, this was a ridiculous stretch to start with 23 straight days. Now that turns into 30 straight days. And, oh, yeah, their reward, they go back to Washington, D.C. for a day game, and they have to face Max Scherzer in that
game.
Yes,
and then there's a hurricane, supposedly, right, some coming into there on Thursday as well. So, you know, it's unfortunate that it lines up where Max Scherzer is going to be facing them, but it's, you just worry about the team in front of you that day. You got to win each inning. Like, we can cap talk all the time. Win each inning. Win each pitch. Win each at-bat. And then you can worry about that at the end of the day. All right, hopefully you've won the game and you can always advance, especially against playing against the Brewers right now. This lineup is tough. These guys are playing. Yelich is an MVP candidate, mm-hmm, the way he's turned his second half all around. And
they're not intimidated by the Cubs.
No, they know. And then Wade Miley today, he's changed his career. You know, for him to not even be on a team early in spring, then latch on and pitch the way he's pitching, it's really nice to see a guy change his career around.
Yeah, I don't know how Tom feels about it. I think it's a really interesting matchup because it's September and the rosters are expanded and the Brewers have all these lefties ready to rake, but the Cubs' strength is in their left-handed starters, yet their weakness might be in their left-handed relievers. So there's this cat and mouse game You know, when we saw the game in Milwaukee, as soon as Pedro Strop entered the game, it was a parade of lefties that Council sent up there. I think it's a fascinating matchup in September especially.
It is. I hate September baseball because of the roster issues. There's no reason we should be playing games with a different roster size in the most important month of the year than the previous five. That being said, you guys have seen the Cubs-Brewers games have all been pretty much close games, other than way back in April when the weather was terrible here. I expect more of the same.
Yeah.
As I said, Milwaukee's bullpen is throwing better. They're very comfortable playing close games, the Brewers here. So I expect more of the same between these two teams. Should be a great series. Tonight's game, guys, to me, is huge for Milwaukee because I think they can really flip things if they can come out of this with a win.
David, last year the Cubs had Wade Davis. 2 years ago they had Aroldis Chapman. Now they're wondering, will Brandon Morrow be back? And I think that uncertainty in the bullpen is starting to add up, especially with this long stretch of playing consecutive games. Two games in the last week, you could say the bullpen kind of gave away. Are they starting to take on water in that pen?
You know, it's tough because at this point of the season, you know, Steve Cechek has been used a lot. Strope has been used a lot. But this is that time of year where just you get that extra kick. It's middle of September. Now it's going down to the deadline. These guys just got to lock in more, being able to trust each other in the bullpen. That's what it comes down to, is trusting what you have. Carl Edwards is a little – just that fastball is a little off right him right now. So you're going to have to go in there, lock in, and he knows that these guys are behind him. So hopefully the bullpen could come together and start riding off each other.
Who's the closer in that group if Morrow can't come back?
Well, it's definitely Strope, but you know, I'm saying, but there will be moments. I mean, here's the difference between Morrow and Strope, or Wade Davis Strope, in that if Morrow or Wade Davis or Chapman are struggling, you're still going to let them try to finish it off.
Yeah.
With Strope, you might have someone backing him up, and we've seen that already. A lefty, Wilson, might be ready, or another righty. If Strope's control isn't there, if his command is off, I think Joe can't be afraid to pull the trigger, and we've seen that already.
And, Tom, obviously locally we're nitpicking this a little bit, but the Cubs have the best record in the National League. They've been pretty consistent as an offensive team for most of the season, and the way the National League is set up right now, they probably have as good a chance to get to the World Series as any team out there.
There's no question about that. I think they've done a great job here building an extremely deep team. When a starter is, say, hurt, as Chris Bryant was, the person coming up behind him, there's never a big drop-off, no matter what position on the field. That being said, to me, that goes away a little bit in postseason play, the advantage you have with depth. And it does become more about bullpens and usage and relying on guys to get those big outs. I prefer guys who've been there before in those situations. Asking someone like Strope to get the big outs of a postseason game is very different. He's got closer stuff. But to me, their postseason run will depend on the bullpen more so than the lineup.
Maybe these teams are fated to meet in the playoffs because they really do mirror each other. Now, the Cubs starters at the top are probably better, but in general, they mirror. They're deep position player bases, not deep starting staffs, pretty good bullpens, probably better on Milwaukee's side when you include Hader, but they do mirror each other. A five-game series would be really fascinating with the you know, shortened rosters.
And, you know, and right now, the schedule favors the Brewers. You know, the Cubs have to go to Arizona to play the Diamondbacks. They're playing good ball out there. They want to win the division, so they're going. And the Reds have played the Reds and the Pirates have played the Cubs pretty tough all season long.
And these are the series sometimes you see the tail enders kind of roll over. The San Francisco series, Milwaukee swept that fairly easily, and now we'll have to see what they can do head-to-head. David, take us inside that clubhouse. We know that the Cubs are tired. There's no way around that, especially with all the issues they had in Washington, D.C. over the weekend. Will a series like this, a head-to-head showdown with your closest pursuer, kind of invigorate the guys and have them playing their best tonight?
Oh, there's no doubt about that because these games matter. You know, you're watching all the highlights of the Brewers. You know that they're starting to sweep teams. They've won six series in a row, so they're coming and playing good. So you want to stop them in the track. You've been playing good. This is your home base, and you want to win the series here. And if you win the series throughout the rest of the season, you're going to finish in first place in the division.
I really like what Craig Counsell said. Not even Joe Maddon, but Craig Counsell. The Brewers had their own issues, ironically, in Washington with weather earlier in the season. Mm-hmm. And they came out of it in a long stretch at that and played against the Cubs. And he said, I was glad we played the Cubs. You can't use fatigue or being tired as an excuse. This is the team right behind you if you're the Cubs now. And you got to rise to the occasion. You're still hoping Thursday's an off day, by the way, because it might just rain out the whole Eastern Seaboard there.
And you wonder why Davey didn't do his buddy Joe Maddon the solid and skip Scherzer. I mean, he could have waited to pitch him on Friday, but he's scheduled to go on Thursday. Tom, obviously the story that has gotten a lot of national play is Bryce Harper's upcoming free agency. A lot of links to Chris Bryant and being buddies in Vegas, and maybe they'll bat back-to-back one day that they put out on Twitter. You think there's a solid chance that Bryce Harper joins this Cubs lineup next year?
I think there's a chance. I'm not sure how solid it is. I'm actually looking at a team like the Philadelphia Phillies are going to have money to spend and a real need. I think they'll definitely be in it for both Machado and Harper. Where he winds up, I still haven't ruled out the Nationals. I kind of doubt that he might go back because their long-term deals, whether it was Scherzer or Strasburg, had a lot of deferred money. This guy's 26. He's got numbers that compare to Ken Griffey Jr. at this age. The power is off the charts. I know he had a rough first half, but he's going to break the bank on the free agent market.
Can I add one more thing? I think the addition of Daniel Murphy, or the need for Daniel Murphy, has told the Cubs this position player base isn't exactly growing the way we think. So my point is, I think all bets are on when you consider Machado or Harper, because I don't think the Cubs, some of these young players are advancing, and that was why they needed to go out and get Daniel Murphy. So I've come full circle. At first I was like, yes on Harper, no on Harper. Now I'm back on, they might need an infusion from outside.
Well, hopefully John Lester sets the tone for this series with a real good ball game. He's been very good in his last four starts. We want to thank Tom Verducci for coming to join us here on Sports Talk Live. Enjoy your time at Wrigley Field. Hopefully we'll see you in the postseason.
It's fine by me. Sign me up.
And we know that we're going to see David coming up later for Cubs postgame live. Still ahead on Sports Talk Live, we can't get around what happened yesterday at Lambeau Field. It looked great for a half. The defense was dominant. The play calling looked good. And then all of a sudden, Aaron Rodgers turned into Superman and led the Packers to a one-point win over the Chicago Bears. We're going to discuss that later with Lance Briggs and Matt Forte, who joined the panel here on Sports Talk Live. Keep it right here on NBC Sports Chicago. Hey, are you a Cubs authentic fan? We want to hear your unique Cubs stories and experiences. Share your Cubs photos and videos with us for a chance to become our next authentic fan of the game. You can enter at NBCSportsChicago.com/CubsAF. And as we head to break, check out the Great Clip of the Week, presented by Great Clips, courtesy of Victor Caratini.
Swinging a fly ball out into deep right center, and it is gone! Victor Caratini with a grand slammer! 4-0.
Welcome back. Just when it looked like the Bears would beat their longtime rivals on opening night, the defensive breakdown resulted in a 75-yard touchdown pass from Aaron Rodgers to Randall Cobb. And that sent Green Bay in front for the first time all night at 24-23. And that would be your final score, a revolting turn of events at Lambeau Field. Welcome back to Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. I'm Mark Schanowski alongside Jesse Rogers. And look who's joined us, Lance Briggs. Are you singing tonight?
Maybe.
Depends how you're feeling.
There's a good chance, yeah.
Yeah.
The weather's nice.
I look like a football next to this guy. He's still huge.
Yeah. That's what retirement does to you.
I meant in a good way.
He meant in a good way. The best possible way.
Of course.
Well, he sprinted over here to get here from time. Yeah. We appreciate that.
I did.
Did you leave Matt Forte in the dust or what?
No, you know what? I'm sure he'll be here in good time.
He's a rookie.
He doesn't understand how this works.
If he can't dodge all these people, who can, right?
That's true. I mean, he's retired too, so I don't know about those knees.
Well, hopefully a lot of folks got a chance to see the premiere of the football after show.
Yeah.
Lawrence Holmes, Lance Briggs, Alex Brown, and the rookie, Matt Forte. It should have been a lot of fun. Talking about all the great things that happened in the first half, and then the script flipped.
You know what? It was one of those, we have so many great things to talk about, and then this happens.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like we didn't see it kind of starting to happen. I think we all kind of felt it happening. And if you don't take care of a team like that, you know, early on, and the chances that everybody thought, Rodgers was going to be gone.
Yeah, of course.
And then you see him on the sideline. He Paul pierced us. he Paul pierced us, and he came back. But there are too many opportunities for us to put that team away.
Yeah, as it's happening, I mean, I know it's so much harder than it looks. You know, as it's going against you, what can anybody do? I mean, call the timeout, throw a helmet. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, everyone watching saw the momentum going the wrong way.
Correct.
How do you stop it? It's an inexperienced group compared to Green Bay. We know that. But still, a chance to win.
The way I see it as I saw the wave going the other way, we're still up and they're playing catch up. It only takes one play. You know, it only takes one play. And as that time starts to dwindle down, you know, whether it's Kyle Fuller making that catch, you know, us getting the fourth and one, or us kicking, you know, and getting 3 points, or us going for it on making it on that third and one. Making it on the third and one. There are opportunities, or guys just hustling to get a receiver down, you know, on a when Randall Cobb ran that long pass.
You know what a lot of fans are saying, though? They should have blitzed Aaron Rodgers because he was operating on one good leg. What would you have done?
You can't if he's snapping the ball and throwing it immediately. There's no blitz that's going to get to a quarterback. And actually, you're taking a guy out of coverage that could converge on a receiver that's catching it, you know, with behind the line of scrimmage or for little or no gain.
Where did the breakdown come on the Cobb touchdown? Because it seemed like once Eddie Jackson didn't deflect the ball away, there was nobody behind him.
Effort. Eddie Jackson left his feet, you know, which fundamentally is a cardinal sin. You don't leave your feet when you're trying to block a pass. But he left his feet. But once a guy catches the ball, now we all turn and we run. And effort alone is what's supposed to get him down, make them make another play, and that didn't happen. Well, you saw it with Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack, he hustled his butt off. But Khalil Mack shouldn't be beating Kyle Fuller.
Lance, what's the standard fine for being late for a meeting? Matt Forte wants to know.
Ah, you know.
He can't tell you. Well, he can tell you. Plenty of times.
We want to welcome Matt Forte. Of course, he's the rookie. Did you have to bring donuts or do anything special last night?
Nah,
for the
I'm
guys?
A grown man. I don't do that no more. I don't do that stuff.
No more donuts.
Well, let's talk about what you saw from the Bears' offense that you liked last night, Matt.
I like that they ran the ball efficiently. They looked comfortable. I like that they went down there on the very first drive. And it's strong when you come out on the very first drive and take it down there and you get a score, especially in foreign territory where you're at an away game. You're not going to have the home crowd behind you. So that's huge that they did that. You know, especially when the defense came out, they got to stop. And then they get the ball and their first possession to go down and score is huge. That gives you momentum. Mm-hmm. You know, just would like to see more runs running the ball.
Wow. 5.5 average.
Third and one late in the game.
Yeah.
You're in a shotgun. As a player, at least one former player, are you starting to think, running back, give it to the running back.
Yeah, that's the first thing, right? I thought they were going to do.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's 1 yard and, you know, you gotta make them earn it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So their defensive line is – I mean, it's the beginning of the season. They're not ranked at a certain level, or they're, you know, killing the run game or anything like that. And you've been running the ball good the whole game. So even if you don't have to pack it all in there and go goal line, spread them out and run the ball.
Yeah.
But just run it. Don't do a pass where you throw the ball and then you still don't get 1 yard.
A cutesy pass.
Yeah, and people talk about the inexperience of Mitch Trubisky and some of the new players on the Bears roster. You got to remember the head coach, Matt Nagy, that was his first game on the sidelines at Lambeau Field. Didn't he get a little bit too conservative in the second half, guys?
I don't know if it was, if you call it conservative. I think the term we use is cute.
Cute.
You know, I think cute and in the black and blue division, you got a 240-pound running back, you know, that's getting 5.5 average. 5.5 average. Right. You know, use them. Utilize them. Utilize them. Not only utilize them, move the chains, keep the clock running, and minimize the opportunities that 12 is going to get to come back.
I wouldn't even say it was too much conservative. I think it was just a lack of experience being in that position. Obviously, it's the first game of the season, a lot of new parts and pieces, new coach as well. But he's been in those situations as an assistant coach as well, and you know how to handle those. But when you get up and you're at an away game and you can't let their crowd get back into it, and once the momentum shifted, it was all downhill after that.
It does seem like play that game again in 10 weeks or 8 weeks, different outcomes.
Agreed.
Mac is in better shape. One of those plays in the second half maybe goes your way. Nagy has more experience. Like, so many things could go your way, you know, if you replay that game again, I feel like.
But I don't think more could have went their way. I mean,
well, maybe not
the
second
football guys
in the
first half.
You got to win when you're up 20-0.
Well, that's true. I'm not denying that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in 10 weeks.
When you're playing quarterbacks like the Tom Brady, the Drew Breeses, and the Aaron Rodgers, like you saw what Tom Brady did in the Super Bowl. Atlanta thought they had that game won.
Right.
And one turnover ended up turning the whole game around for them. And you got to keep guys down like that. You got to press them and there's no
step on their throats.
Yeah, yeah. No relentless.
Well, Bears fans couldn't wait to see what Khalil Mack would bring, and we saw it all in the first half. He gets a strip sack, a pick six. It's like, and then he wound up playing 40-some snaps. So here's a guy that hasn't missed a game in his NFL career. Bears fans are going to love that kind of reliability to be able to be on the field each and every week, making big plays.
He makes everybody around him better. Yeah. You know, Roquan Smith had a sack on his first play in NFL because of the efforts of Khalil Mack and obviously the other guys too. But Khalil Mack, you can see his effect. I think we're going to have to start seeing a lot of billboards with Khalil Mack on it.
What's the best ability?
The best ability? Sustainability.
No. Availability.
Dependability.
Oh. Well, it's
they're all the same. They're all same.
Same thing.
Ability.
Ability, yeah.
You guys could argue about that in the green room. You know, you've seen Aaron Rodgers up close and personal on the football field.
Yep.
First of all, I was surprised he came back. I know you said the Paul Pierce deal, but I wouldn't be surprised if you find out he's going to be out several weeks with either a, you know, a medium-level sprain or whatever. That was pretty amazing what he did.
Yes, it was heroic, actually.
Reluctant to give praise to a backer.
It's not surprising. We all know how capable he is. They, you know, they gave him that amount of money for a reason. You know, and people ask, you know, if he's worth that, he's worth every penny. You know, any team would be lucky to have Aaron Rodgers.
One more hit on him.
One more, right?
One more, and that would have been it. Didn't happen.
Yeah, you can't live life thinking that one hit's going to let you.
It's playing on one leg. I mean, you saw he couldn't move. He couldn't move around.
Yeah.
You can't ask for anything more than
Aaron Rodgers on one leg is better than most quarterbacks.
Exactly.
He proved that yesterday. He proved that.
So, Matt, you're here at the Friendly Confines. You got any baseball in your background growing up?
I did. I played all the way up until high school in Louisiana. Baseball ran into spring football, and I wasn't missing spring football, so I stopped playing.
I'm saying shortstop.
No, I pitched. We're going to see tonight.
Are you going to throw out the first pitch?
I'm going to see you.
No. I know you guys asked Matt, but I actually did play baseball too, but, you know, it's fine.
We can both do it. I want to see if I throw
every
faster.
Every team needs a DH.
Who can throw the fastest?
Here's the thing. I'm running on rotator. I had a sore rotator, you know.
We both played a long time.
We did, you know.
He could say it's an old football injury, and it actually could make sense. You know how we say that?
That's
it's
right.
An old football injury.
My rookie year, you messed my shoulder up a little bit.
These guys already have their excuses well in place, so make sure you listen during the seventh inning stretch to see if they can carry a tune as well. We want to thank Matt Forte and Lance Briggs for stopping by. You can catch them later during the broadcast of Cubs Brewers. I want to thank Jesse Rogers. No rain, hopefully, for the rest of the season and throughout the postseason. Coming up next, it's baseball night in Chicago. Layla Rahimi will be here. She'll be joined by Ozzie Guillen and David DeJesus. Join the game tonight, Cubs and Brewers. So long, everybody.